Chapter 24. Gregory left Inspector Durand to continue his interrogation of Léon Boucher while he returned to see Camille Duquette. According to her nurse, she'd spent a peaceful night sleeping for 8 solid hours and had woken, happily enough, spending most of the morning sitting by the window or reading her book. However, her day nurse called to report a worrying dip in Camille's mood and asked him to attend immediately. On the journey across town, Gregory catalogued the drugs she was taking, none of which were antipsychotics or antidepressants he might have associated with unexplained mood swings. In the absence of any obvious medicinal side effects, he stepped through all the known symptoms of dissociative amnesia and came to the obvious conclusion. Camille was experiencing a breakthrough. He paid off the taxi driver, whose driving had been sedate in comparison with what he'd grown accustomed to lately, and hurried upstairs to help however he could. And yes, the day nurse was waiting for him at the door.
"Thank God," she muttered. "She's through there in the living room. I must tell you, I was forced to restrain her at one point for her own safety."
"Why?"
"It was the same as before," she said, clearly distressed by the experience. "One moment she was completely docile, sitting, having a sandwich. The next moment, mon Dieu, she threw the plate across the room and demanded to know why she was being held captive."
She wrung her hands.
"Captive? I told her it is not like that at all. I explained she cannot remember simple things and had been badly injured, so it was best I stayed with her so she did not hurt herself. As God is my witness, monsieur, I told her I would take her out for a walk to the park or to the shop."
"All right, and yes, it's all right," he murmured, shrugging out of his jacket. "Has she asked to see anyone?"
"She asked to see Madeleine or Juliette."
Gregory's head whipped around, both surprised and elated. She remembered. "Have you given her any sedative?" he asked, and the nurse shook her head.
"You said to avoid it, so I held her firmly in my arms until she quietened down. She wasn't happy about it, but she seems to be a little more stable than before. She's still asking to see a mirror."
Gregory mulled it over, but shook his head. "I need to do an updated risk assessment considering this afternoon's incident," he said. "I'll make a decision on that after I've spoken to her."
"I can hear you whispering about me,"
a voice suddenly bellowed, so loudly they were both startled.
"Who's that? Is it Gabriel or Armand?"
Gregory hardly recognized the tone to Camille's voice. It was so different from the softly spoken woman he'd met the day before. As he entered the living room, he realized that wasn't the only thing that had changed.
"Who are you?"
Camille was standing beside the window, her long legs encased in a pair of skin-tight leggings and a baggy T-shirt she'd knotted at the waist. Her scar was hidden from view behind the long fall of her dark hair, and everything about her stance spoke of a woman who knew she was beautiful, scars or no scars.
"Did you hear what I said?"
Gregory walked into the room slowly, tucking his hands into the pockets of his trousers, and Camille gave him a very thorough, very feminine assessment, which had been noticeably absent the day before. "Don't you remember me?" he asked, coming to stand a careful distance away. "We met yesterday and the day before that." Bold blue eyes scanned his face and body. Then she gave a decisive shake of her head.
"Do you work for Leroux?" she asked.
Gregory didn't know what to make of this turn of events. The day before, Camille had been unable to recall long-term memories, but now the situation seemed to have reversed. It was highly irregular. "My name is Dr. Alexander Gregory," he said, and waited for any reaction, but there was none. "Do you know why you're here?"
"That person, the nurse, told me I'd been attacked," Camille said, jerking her chin towards Agnès, who practically cowered behind him. "Obviously, I can feel the bandages, but she won't let me see for myself. In a mirror, I don't know what the hell's going on."
Gregory was beginning to see the Camille that Léon had spoken of. "Do you mind if I sit down?" he asked, feeling an uncomfortable sense of déjà vu.
"Do as you please," she muttered, still watching him with her assessing blue gaze. "Are you English?"
He nodded. "It seems I wear my nationality on my sleeve," he said with a smile. Her lips twitched.
"Oh, you're not so bad," she said generously. Out of practice, maybe? He acknowledged the truth of that. I'm here because the Brigade Criminelle asked me to help them investigate your attack. Why? Don't they know how to do their jobs? He almost laughed and silently added candid to her list of personality traits. Well, they know very well, he replied. But without a suspect or any witnesses, they were struggling to understand the kind of person who would attack you in such a way. And where do you come in? He'd asked himself the same thing many times before, but Gregory took the question at face value. I'm a psychologist and a criminal profiler, he said, letting the admission roll around on his tongue. Until a few weeks ago, he would have gone to great pains to avoid the label, but it seemed most apt for the job he appeared to be doing. What does that mean? You rub a crystal ball? He smiled again, and this time she smiled back. If only it were that easy, he said with feeling. I help police forces to narrow their pool of available suspects, usually in cases where there's very little evidence to go on. What do you mean, little evidence? She demanded, and raised a hand to touch the bandage on her face. Wouldn't you say this was ample proof? Her eyes suddenly swam with tears. I don't need to see it to know how bad it is, she said quietly. It hurts to speak, and the fact nobody will let me see it. It must be very bad. My career is finished, I know that much. A single tear spilled over. I'm sorry for what's happened to you, Camille, he said. But nothing is ever as bad as it seems. You've been suffering severe trauma and memory loss, which has made you vulnerable. For that reason, it isn't a good idea for you to see the physical injuries until we can be sure your mind will process the visual information it receives in a reasonable way. If you panic, you may do something silly. She pulled a face. Like what? Kill myself? Gregory said nothing. He would never make light of suicide, having seen the after-effects at Southmoor and spending most of his time trying hard to prevent it. But you were too late for me, weren't you? His mother's voice whispered in his ear, and Gregory stiffened, fighting the urge to look around. It was nothing more than a phantom memory, a projection of his deepest guilt. There was no such thing as ghosts. Do you, can you tell me what you remember of the attack? He asked, once the black spots behind his eyes had faded. She shook her head. I don't remember, she said, raising a hand to massage her head. I get a headache when I try to think about it. All right, he said gently. Let's try something else. Tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. Monet's garden at Giverny, she said promptly. Is Giverny special to you, Camille? That's the second time you've mentioned it. Is it? She gave a frustrated sigh and moved to sit in the chair opposite, in exactly the same spot she'd occupied the previous day, except this time she tucked her feet up and slouched against the arm, resting her head on her hand. I really don't know, she said. You just said to tell you the first thing that sprang to mind. I thought of Giverny. Gregory nodded. What else can you remember? He asked. Can you tell me where you were born? She opened her mouth to answer what should have been an easy question. I can't remember, she said with rising panic. It's on the tip of my tongue. How about telling me how old you are instead? 24, she replied, but please don't tell Leroux. I told him I was 19. She gave a self-conscious shrug. She looked it, Gregory thought. With her face bare of makeup, wearing gym gear, she looked 5 years younger than she was, and youth was a valuable asset in the fashion industry. You couldn't seem to remember your age yesterday, he remarked. I couldn't? Why not? He smiled, wondering how long they had to talk about neural connectors in the brain. Your mind is traumatized, he said. It's processing information and feeding old memories back to you in a haphazard way. Yesterday you remembered me, whereas today you don't. She smiled suddenly in a very feline way. I'm sure I would remember you. Gregory ignored that and moved on to the next question. What about Leon? He asked. Do you remember anybody by that name? Of course, she laughed. Everybody in the fashion world knows Leon. He's the best photographer in the industry.
Of course he is, Gregory thought, especially by his own estimation.
And does the name Wendy Lee mean anything to you?
A cloud passed over her face, and she was quiet for a long moment.
I think I know the name, she said, but I can't remember how.
He remained silent. Sometimes it was the most effective tool.
I can remember what she looks like, Camille continued after a couple of seconds. She's an old Chinese woman, very small, with very thin hands. I think it sounds stupid, but I think she does palm readings.
She looked at him in confusion.
Why should I go to have a palm reading? She said. It's nonsense.
Gregory thought about how accurate his own had been, but said nothing of that.
You don't remember anything else about her? He asked. Do you remember meeting her?
She held her head in her hand and visibly struggled before her shoulders slumped.
It's like trying to grasp onto a puff of smoke, she muttered. It's like waking up after a dream. You think it'll stay vivid and real, but it floats away.
It may come back to you, he said. And suddenly the procureur's voice echoed around his mind.
She's having you on, mon ami. You seem to remember the Leroux very well, he said, thrusting aside the self-doubt that nipped at the edges of his mind. Can you tell me more about them?
Maison Leroux is one of the best fashion houses in the world. Gabrielle asked me to model for them at Fashion Week. She proclaimed it proudly. Then her smile faded as she remembered the reason why she was there.
I've missed my chance now, she whispered. Do you remember when you first met Gabrielle?
Yesterday it had been a difficult question, but today it seemed an easy one.
Oh, sure, it was a few weeks ago, she said without hesitation. I ran into her on the street on the Place Vendôme.
What were you doing there? He asked. Once again she opened her mouth, but no sound came out.
I must have been... I'm not sure.
It was at night. He nodded, making a note. All right. What did Gabrielle say?
She said I had a great look, Camille replied dully. She asked me if I'd ever considered modelling.
Had you?
What?
Wanted to be a model as a little girl.
I don't know. I can't remember anything before meeting Gabrielle.
Gregory steepled his forefinger and thumb against his temple, considering the best way to approach the problem.
What about Armand? Do you remember the first time you met him?
Sure, she said. It was at a party he and his wife threw to welcome their new family. They call us family so that we'll all try to get along.
And do you get along?
She nodded.
Well enough, she said. Some people never like fresh blood on the scene, so they make things difficult. I don't mind that.
There was the hard-nosed side again, he thought.
You were telling me about Armand.
Oh, yeah, there isn't much to tell, really. He leaves his wife to make the creative decisions while he eats or makes phone calls or sleeps on a sofa somewhere.
That sounded about right, Gregory had to admit.
Camille, do you know anybody who would wish to hurt you? Do you remember anything at all about your attack?
She ran a nervous hand through her hair, then touched gentle fingers to the bandage on her cheek.
All I remember is the pain, she said, choking back fresh tears. And anger. They seemed so angry.
He leaned forward.
They?
Camille, do you think it was a man or a woman who attacked you? Try to visualize their face.
But she started to cry softly, wrapping her arms around her body as she rocked back and forth.
I can't, she whispered. I can't.
Gregory tried to work around her mental blocks for a while longer, reversing this way and that, but by the end of their conversation, Camille was exhausted. He elicited a promise that she should call him or the nurse if she felt frightened or panicked, and promised in return to take her for a walk the following day once she'd regained her strength. Her eyes barely staying open, Camille agreed, and Agnès reappeared to draw the curtains and tuck her into bed for a nap. If she has another episode, call me straight away, Gregory murmured, once she'd fallen into a dead sleep. Her mind is extremely fragile, and to tell you the truth, I don't know which version of Camille you'll get the next time she wakes up. The nurse nodded, looking across at the woman the press still called Sleeping Beauty. Do you think she'll recover? She's already recovering, he replied. Her memories are coming back thick and fast, but unfortunately not fast enough. If she could only remember something of the attack, it might be the key to everything. As he was preparing to leave, there came a knock at the door. He waved Agnès away and checked the peephole, surprised to find that particular visitor standing in the hallway outside. Madeleine. He opened the door and drank in the sight of her. I'm sorry to disturb you, she said shyly. I spoke to Procureur Segal and he said it was all right to visit. Gregory held off making any inflammatory remarks about the prosecutor's ability to judge a patient's fitness to receive visitors, since it was a moot point. Camille is asleep at the moment, he told her, and I'm afraid she's had a rough day. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, she said, looking down at the small bunch of flowers she'd brought with her. Would it be all right to leave these for her? He smiled, wondering what it was about her that he found so appealing. She had beauty, yes, but there were many kinds of beauty, and the most obvious seldom appealed to him. There had to be something else, something more substantial than the shape of her face and the lines of her body, though as a red-blooded heterosexual male he wasn't hypocrite enough to deny their appeal. I'm singing at the Café Laurent again tonight, Madeleine was saying. I was planning to have an early dinner if you'd like to join me. The nurse made a good show of pretending not to listen as she took the flowers to douse them in water. He hesitated, grappling between Dr. Gregory and Alex, uncertain as to who presently had the upper hand. No, if you're busy, it's no problem, she said huskily. I heard what happened to Juliette, so you must be busy helping the police with their investigation. And he heard the grief that was written all over her face, as well as the fear. He had a report to write and some research to do, but after that, see you at 5. She smiled brilliantly and reached up to bestow a soft kiss before heading back out into the sunny autumn afternoon. Before he could make his own way out, Agnès's voice stopped him. Careful, Doctor. You wouldn't be the first to be blinded by a pretty face. Wise words, he thought, and worth remembering.